Blog Talk Radio.
Where's Sauk in Central New York? Da Vinci, where you at? Yo, shorty. No, I'm coming right back. When I leave, you know I'm coming right back. Do what you do, you know how I like that. When I leave, it's never forever. Before it's all said and done, you better get it together. So when I come back, I hope things get better. Just think back on the times that we treasure. Making love in a tub, all pleasure. The love that I got for you, they couldn't measure. Even if I leave, don't mean that I'm leaving. If I don't make it home, don't mean that I'm cheating. Out on the road doing shows for the weekend. No reason to act like that. So when I leave, I'll be right back. Forget about the lies and rumors. Just to see you wish it could be sooner. Me plus you just equals a little junior.
I'll be right back, baby. I promise you I'll never leave. As long as you have me. I said I'll be right back, baby. I swear that no matter where I go, I'll be coming right back to you.
When I make it home, you know it's all love, girl. So you know it ain't no reason to bug, girl. Stop tripping. Stop flipping. Whenever we together, my heart starts skipping. Whenever I'm gone, you the one that I'm missing. I got you on my mind all of the time. You know the haters gon' hate and the lies gon' lie. Think about it. They don't wanna see you by my side. Never meant to hurt you. Don't wanna see you cry. Last thing I wanna see is some tears in your eyes. I'll be right back. I know you hear it all the time. If I ain't with you, then I'm out on the grind. Told you. It ain't even like that. Just know when I leave, I'm coming right back. Told you, it ain't even like that. Just know when I leave, I'm coming right
said
back.
I'll be right back, baby. I promise you I'll never leave. As long as you have me. I said I'll be right back, baby. I swear that no matter where I go, I'll be coming right back.
No matter where I go, you'll always be on my mind. G-Swift said it best, I'm just on my grind. You know I'll be there for you, when you're down and don't know what to do. Go ahead and take my hand, I'll pull you up and help you stand. It don't matter what them haters say, just remember that I'm here to stay. Ain't no one tear me away from you. Don't care what they try to do. They're just jealous of what we got. So we'll look at this and laugh. Cause just like I told you, I came right.
I said I'll be right back, baby. I promise you I'll never leave. As long as you have me. I said I'll be right back, baby. I swear that no matter where I go,
Welcome to Nation Builders, DJ Black Caesar, a.k.a. the landlord of the South. I got my girl Gidget on the phone. Gidget, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
How you doing,
How
sister Gidget? I'm doing great, man. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I am blessed. I'm in the process of doing a technical thing right now, but I think I'm ready. How are you tonight, Brother Caesar?
I'm wonderful, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm doing good. I'm blessed by the best, baby. That's how I am. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm great. Do we have Sister Kimberly yet? Did you get that number?
Hold on 1 second. Let me look right quick. Let me see. And I will let you know. Wow.
Is that a wow yes or wow no?
Oh, no. I can't check my messages right now. Hey, I'm sorry. I can't check my messages right now, man. I don't. Hey, you know what? Let me see if I can check it. Let me see if I click over and check my messages.
Okay.
All right. Just go ahead along with the show, and I'll check back with you in a minute.
All right. Well, assalamu alaikum, family. This is Sister Gidget of Nation Building, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we are going to be talking to the MVP about marriage. And initially, had a couple of sisters that had committed, but one sister had another obligation that she had to attend to. So I hope you will enjoy the company of Sister Kimberly and I once we're able to get her on the phone. And we also request that you as the audience actually call in and ask questions of Sister Kim and myself pertaining to this topic. So let me start with the technical difficulties. We had a problem with forwarding Sister Kim's number. Let me check back with DJ Caesar.
You know what?
Get that.
Hey, Sister Gidget, I'm not going to be able to get that number like that. You think you can give it to me live online?
Oh, she'll never kill me.
Hey, can you call her up then? I mean, that'll work too if you can call her up and tell her to call into the show.
No, I can't do that either. Because, if I hang up, I hang up.
Yeah. I can't hang up because if I hang up on everybody else.
Okay, so give me a please stand by, audience. I'm so sorry. Give me a second and call me back.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
Yes, I apologize for the technical difficulties we're having right now, but she sent me the number, and I was like, okay, I'm going to get the number off my phone. And I got this new phone. I don't really know how to use it, and I apologize. I'm so sorry. What's up, Brother Raheem? I see you on the phone, Lance.
What's up, DJ Caesar? Do you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I hear you now, brother.
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's up?
Yes, sir.
You got a question already, man? Wow, you got a question already?
I don't
What's
even
up?
Know why I pressed number one, brother. I don't even know why I pressed number one. My question is, what was the problem? Sister Kim's number?
The FOI always comes to our rescue. We got our mighty, mighty brother Rashid out there working his jelly for us. He's going to get Sister Kim on the phone. So we're going to keep
Kim,
rolling.
You need Sister Kim's number?
What was texted to Brother Caesar, and for some reason it didn't go through, so he didn't have the number to program into the computer.
Right.
But in the meantime, if
he can call her up and get her on the phone lines, that'll work also.
Yeah. So, but in the meantime, while we're waiting on that, allow me to introduce to some and present to others, as Brother Forrest would say, our founder and our CEO and our chief officer, Brother Rakim Khalik Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Alaikum salam, ma'am. How are you doing tonight?
I am blessed by Allah's grace. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I was so busy. I've been caught up in all the affairs I got going on around here. And I couldn't help but listen in for a minute to see, you know, to see how my family doing out there in Radio Land, and to commend you on such a wonderful job, you and Caesar, on such a wonderful job of handling Nation Building Radio. This is such a beautiful experience that we are really trying to push for everyone to experience. Yes, ma'am. So I had to come in and just speak to you all. I'm not going to stay with you all too long, but I will be listening. In between my endeavors, I will be listening. And y'all are doing a wonderful job.
Thank you so much, Rakim. And that means a lot coming from you, since you have trusted me so with your vision and with your plan. And I can't thank Allah enough for you, my twin soul, for giving me this opportunity to help build the nation, because that's what we're all about. That's what we all should be about. And until we get Sister Kimberly on the phone, I also want to remind our listening audience that those of us who are in the nation know that we celebrate the 4th of July as our own personal Independence Day, the day that Master Farah Muhammad came to the hills of North America to free us, to free our minds and our spirits from bondage. So in the month of July, all of you entrepreneurs, all of you business owners, all of you independent contractors, whatever you do, please inbox me and let me know so I can get you on the air, so I can interview you. Free advertisement. This is free solicitation of business. We want to hear from you. We want to support your business. So please let us know what you're doing out there. This is how we build the nation. Let's pool our resources. You know, we sink billions of dollars into this economy every year, and some of us still don't have anything to call our own. So please give us that information so that we can support you. So, Brother Caesar, can you see if Sister Kimberly is on the phone?
Sister Kimberly, are you there? Hello, Sister Kimberly.
I think she has a 913 exchange, if I'm not mistaken.
No, she's not on the phone. Hold on for a second. Let me see. I got somebody else who just popped up. And
okay.
Is it 951?
It might be.
Okay, let me check that out. Hello, is that Sister Kimberly 951?
Yes, it is. Assalamualaikum.
How you doing, brother? How you doing?
I'm well, by Allah's grace. Nervous, but well.
Good.
Well, Sister Kimberly, I'm so glad that we were able to finally get you on the phone. I apologize. We had some technical difficulties with our telephones here, but we got you up, and now it's on and popping. How you doing tonight, Queen?
I am blessed by Allah's grace. Thank you so much. How are you?
I am blessed by Allah's grace as well. And we've already kind of talked to the audience waiting for you to arrive. So our very own nation-building sister, Sister Kimberly Renee Muhammad, is in the house with us tonight. And we're going to actually have a sister-to-sister conversation about the MGT and marriage. Sister Kimberly is a single sister, correct, Sister Kimberly? Tell us something about yourself.
That is absolutely correct. Of course, my name is Kimberly R. Muhammad, originally out of Muhammad's Mosque number 27, accepted Islam approximately 29 years ago. I have a unique story in regards to marriage, because when I first stepped into the mosque, I was already married. I played the devil's advocate, if you will, sometimes in some of our discussions in regards to brothers who are in the ranks who bring sisters in, because that's how I came in. And it was without the courtship procedure. And then, unfortunately, that marriage ended in divorce. However, by praises be to Allah, I was able subsequently to go through the courtship process and marry within the ranks, which also did not end in divorce, but ended in death. But I'm, again, single. I'm a single mom of 7. Children ranging from 27 down to 9. I'm a grandmother of 2 7/8 children. I have a daughter that's due in 4 weeks today. In regards to what I do, I am a foster care placement coordinator for a Black-owned and operated foster family and adoption agency by the name of the Institute for Black Parenting. Is that enough? You need some more?
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Now, Sister Kim, this is Brother Rakim Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum salam.
What I want to ask you, sister, you've been in the Nation of Islam 27 years. You have seven 29. Children. 29 years. Excuse me. I'm thinking about your son. You say, you say you have a child 27 years old. I'm sorry, I was stuck on that. My question to you is, to have been in the Nation long as you have, and to have had seven children, and I know children can drive you crazy. And you had seven. What is your secret? Share with the audience, the listening audience, your secret for looking so damn good. You still look good. I mean, seven children in the Nation 29 years. I mean, sister, what is your secret? You still look young and vibrant.
First of all, it's because I am. Number two, I came in as a teenager. And number three, genetics. Number four, and most importantly, adherence to how to eat to live.
That's right, that's right. And the reason I asked you that. Ma'am?
I said, and keeping a youthful outlook without going overboard, if you will. You know how some people just try to way too daggone hard? I'm not one of those.
Okay. Now, when I said what I said, I wasn't implying that you were old. I'm not saying I don't want you or no one else to get that impression. All I'm saying is that some people, you know, some of us, we have children, we get married, we have children, and we just seem to give up and we let ourselves go. And what I'm telling you is, you know, I mean, no matter whether you're young or old, a person can be 22, 23 years old and they look nearly 50, you know, because they have given up and they eat the wrong foods and they're not on top of their game as far as properly raising their children, so their children drive them damn near crazy. And so, therefore, they start looking older and aging way before their time, and most of them, a lot of people die way before their time. And so that's why I asked you the question. Sister DJ, I don't mean to take your program. I would just want the listening audience to know that our dear Sister Kim, she has been on top of her game.
And she is a beautiful sister. Looking at her, you would never think she had children of that age. So all praises due to Allah for how the equilibrium and all the good genetics and stuff she got going on up in there. Yes, ma'am. So, Sister Kimberly,
yes, ma'am.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. And that kind of draws me to my first question. Of course, you know that the topic is MGT and marriage. And excuse me, you all, if my voice gets a little raspy, but I have been running my mouth all week, so please pardon me. I want to talk to you about, since you've been married twice already, when do you know that you're ready as a woman, not necessarily involved in a courtship or a relationship, but when do you know personally that you are ready to become a man's wife and take on that responsibility and that duty?
Well, with myself, for me, it's more of a revelation and an epiphany due to the simple fact that for me, I just have been able to unload the burden of being a quote-unquote widow, which is a badge that I carried with me for many years. It's been 6 years since my late husband has passed, but I wore it, and I wore it with honor. But I had a long talk with a wonderful sister friend of mine that said, Sister Kimberly, you need to let that brother rest. You need to let him rest so you can live your life. Your life still continues. Allah has blessed you with your life to continue on, and your children need to see you grow and blossom. So that was the first step, was to cast off that imagery of being someone's widow and walking around with the cloud of darkness that followed me wherever I went. And with casting off that burden, I discovered Kimberly again, began to feel comfortable in my own skin, began to be identified as me as opposed to the sister that lost her husband or the sister who has all these children that's by herself. I'm identified now when someone sees me as Sister Kimberly. So with me becoming whole again, if you will, and being Kimberly, I know that I'm able to give as a wife to another individual. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, ma'am, it does. And I'm trying to get to the point to where as we being the older women, because you and I, of course, are around the same age, if we're not the same age. And
Yes, ma'am.
I want to speak to our sisters in particular who are in courtships, maybe for the first time, and there's a process that takes place in us as women. When we get ready to start really seriously considering marriage and we're really taking the role of us as women and our duties as a wife in the home and abroad, and I just want to know, what is that process like? How do we, as single women who may have never been married before, how do we prepare for that? And what is the process of getting us ready for that? Because, you know, we can't just be impulsive and just say, well, you know, that brother looks good and I want to marry him, or he makes this much money and I know he'll be a provider. But it's something that has to take place within us, because it's my prayer that the intention is that when we get married to stay married. And so to make that level of commitment, there has to be a preparation process that takes place within us. So what do you think that is?
Well, the preparation process, again, is being comfortable in your own skin, knowing who you are, and also becoming very familiar with that MGT class without fail and be dutiful to your training units. Just always being mindful, prayerful of your duty to Allah first. And that's part of the marriage ceremony, is that, yes, you two are coming together as one, but your duty first is to Allah. And when you fulfill that duty to Allah and you begin to prepare yourself to be His woman, that you begin to fulfill your role to be a woman of God to another man.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. And if we talk about that process, we need to also kind of advise, because I always look at myself as the big sister, kind of advise on the establishment of that relationship with Allah and actually coming into our own woman, so to speak, with Allah first before we can even consider getting married. And, you know, I know a lot of people will speak on growing together in Islam, and it's a beautiful thing, and as a couple, of course, you should. But there has to be an establishment of relationship with Allah between the man and Allah and between the woman and Allah individually, in order for them to come in together and give their best and give the God in them to their marriage and make that union work. And I wanted to see if you agree with me on that, Sister Kimber.
Oh, wholeheartedly. Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I just think that's very important. And I want our younger sisters to know that, you know, we encourage you to get married, but we encourage that marriage between Allah and your personal self prior to marriage, so that you can be that helpmeet that Allah has designed you to be, and you can understand your position as the wife in the household. Okay, so Sister Kimberly, I'm gonna ask you one more question, and then we'll see if we have any questions out there. So, the good question, what do we look for and what do we expect from an FOI?
The individual we or the collective we?
Either way, I take it either way.
Because the reason why I say that, because I say all the time, you know, when I have personal discussions that, you know, Joe Blow X or Joe Blow Muhammad can't just step to me. It takes a very special individual based on the difficulties and the things that I've endured over the years to properly be my husband. And it's not necessarily just because a brother wears a suit and a bow tie and carries so many final call newspapers and is out in class every Monday night. It takes someone of wisdom and understanding and great patience to deal with A, B, C, D, E, F, G, X, Y, Z, and me.
Yes, ma'am.
As in, because of my particular circumstance, I am, of course, I've been married a time or two. I will be coming into a blended family. I have adult children. I have teenage children. I have middle school children. I have grandchildren. And then I have a very demanding occupation. So it takes a man that is understanding of Kimberly and her needs to be able to properly fulfill me as a husband, and that doesn't necessarily mean monetarily.
Yes, ma'am.
For me, it takes a great deal of patience and understanding, and oftentimes we present well during the courtship. Make it seem like we have the patience of Job, but boy, and let me tell you something, just like Brother Rakim had said a little bit earlier, the children that sprung forth from me, they can test the patience of Lord, have mercy. So oftentimes, you know, and when that child is not biologically tied to you, you know, oftentimes
right.
a brother can, you know, can like, wait a minute, you need to go check, you know, and don't have that level of patience to do what it takes to develop that family component.
Yes, ma'am. So, Kimberly, so you, after what you have been through, and this is a personal question, after what you have been through, do you still seek to be married in conjunction with everything else that you have going on? Do you think you could be a sufficient wife with, you know, with just your load in itself, and how do you make that work?
Well, it takes a level of balance, and it's hard.
Yes.
It's hard, but I feel that I'm at the stage in my life now where I have learned how to juggle, if you will. I'm at a stage in my life where I'm comfortable, and I've mastered all of the other things, and I'm ready now to share my life with another individual as opposed to walking this road and this journey alone. My children are growing up. They're moving on. They're moving forward. And as they move on, grow up, and move forward, it's time for me to take my place and fulfill my role with walking my journey with another individual as a wife.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. And you need a team player. You need a team player. Yes, ma'am. And you know, whether you have one child or two children or four jobs or no job, you need a brother who's going to be on your team no matter what. So, okay, Brother Caesar.
Yes, ma'am.
Do we have any people out there that want to talk to us?
Let me check and see. No. Everybody's blank right now. But they're out there.
Nobody.
They're looking. Listen, they're listening. You got a lot of listeners right now.
Nobody wants to ask a question?
Someone wants to ask a question.
Let me turn on the mics right quick. Let me turn them on right quick, and let's ask that question together and see if we have anybody out there. Right now, they might not know how to use their telephone, so let's get their phone on and ask the question at one time, okay? Okay, let's ask the question right now. Does anybody have anything they would like to ask Sister Kimberly or Sister Gidget? You can maybe talk now if you want, please. Okay.
I'm hearing the Jeopardy.
I'm about to turn the phones off. Here we go. I'm turning the phones off. This is the last time I'm going to ask. I'm going to shut the phones down real quick so we won't have any interference. Nobody has anything to say?
I'm calling somebody out because he chatting with me. Brother Rashid, you out there? I know you out there because you just hit me up. So you got a question? Don't make me call the whole name.
Oh, you need to call the whole name.
Okay. Brother Hakeem, Rashid, Shabazz.
Well...
Beloved.
That was not cool, Queen.
My God.
He called your whole name.
That's a lie.
Listen, that's how when you know you're in trouble, your mama or your grandma, they call your whole name.
I got one of them
ghetto names, so you don't want to hear that.
One of them
made up, you know, from the 1960s and 70s, one of them long old Shaquita da-dee-da-da-da-da-da names. Yeah, those.
You better not tell your new mom when you get them.
Oh, that's that name you spell when you get to college. Okay. Got it. Brother Rashid, assalamu alaikum. Thank you for joining us. Before you ask a question, tell us something about yourself, Brother Rashid. Are either singers one or two?
I'm sorry, but I can't understand what you're saying, your last words.
I said either tell us something about yourself or sing a song.
Oh, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. Brother Rashid Shabazz, we're from Dallas, Texas. Muhammad Mosque number 48. I have three daughters. Just celebrated a birthday yesterday with my little daughter. Feeling like Superman, like dad right now. I'm broke. My daughter has all my money. So I'm feeling like Superman right now.
You are temporarily financially challenged, sir.
No, ma'am. Your brother is broke right now, ma'am. For real.
I wonder how you got that. Should I ask or is that personal?
What you say?
Wonder how you got that way. Should I ask or is that personal?
I got one way.
Broke.
That was real cute, Sister Gidget. I got broke that way, Sister, because I'm about to be married, and I have three daughters.
He finally said it. Congratulations, Brother Rashid. I'm happy for you and your I'm coming up. Well, when is that date, Brother Rashid?
May I just say to you that I will no longer be speaking to you anymore for about the next 3 or 4 weeks.
I will say this, Brother Rashid, broken can be fixed, sir.
Excuse me?
Broken can be fixed.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Brother Rashid, get out that Bluetooth.
No, ma'am, y'all better carry on, sister. I'm going back on mute. You guys are doing a great job. Brother,
thank
y'all
you,
bail me out, bro. Bail me out, bro.
Take off Bluetooth. He has worse Bluetooth. Okay.
Hey, Sister Gidget.
Thank you,
hey, when you can't get Brother Rashid on the phone for the next month or two, you know what?
Whatever, that's my brother. He loves me regardless.
The next 5 or 6 months, brother.
That's so funny.
Yes. Okay. So, did we have anybody else with a question?
No, we don't. We don't have anybody else with a question.
Okay. Well.
I got a question. Sister Kimberly.
Yes, sir.
This is a question I want to ask you. You have 7 children.
Yes, sir.
You're still young. You're still beautiful. You're still vibrant. My question to you is, are you finished having children?
Oh, yes, sir. Wasn't that enough?
This is Kim. I had to ask you that question.
I am not offended by that question none whatsoever. But wasn't 7 enough? Shoot.
7. Listen, 7 is a magical. That's a divine number.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Stop right there. Stop. Do not. Like $200.
Wow. Okay, so Sister Kimberly, let's kind of get back to the subject at hand. What about in general? I guess I may ask, what are we looking for in the FOI? You know, when we come into the time and we start thinking about marriage, what are some of the qualities that we're seeking in the FOI? Because all those brothers out there, that I'm not going to call them out, but if I see you in chat, I'm subject to call your name. But they want to know. They want to know, what does MGT expect of the FOI?
Well, I would say patience, number one, like I said it before, perseverance, because oftentimes, you know what, we as women are a little bit more long-suffering, if you will, and have more long-range vision. We look out when the brothers look down, when they look down, they see the here and the now. We as women look further out. And to have a bit of perseverance, because oftentimes I see where, well, not just brothers, but just the believers in general, where there is a bit of turbulence, if you will, in the flight during marriage, the first thing that we want to do is say, this ain't working, I'm going to cut and run. And I personally have experienced that, you know, with my late husband. We stayed married for as long as we did because I made sure we stayed married for as long as we did. Because he wanted to, this is not working. But I remember very vividly, I remember very vividly the lesson of how to give birth to a God, where the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said that we need to make our relationships work. It's not just going to happen just by abracadabra, hocus pocus. We're going to be happily ever after. That's not going to happen. So therefore, why is parents, also big picture, also to recognize that just because, and I said this before, just because we are in a women's development class called the Muslim Girls Trained in a General Civilization class, does not mean we have mastered all 7 years and have excelled and that we are perfect.
Right. Yes, ma'am. So when we say perseverance, do you think that how do you know? I mean, looking at him or talking to him, How do you know? Because here's the thing. We can present ourselves, our situation to a brother, and a brother will say, you know, I accept you the way you are. I love you. I want to marry you. But it's a different process that takes place when all of that is actually happening, when they actually start to live with you and dwell in your environment and you dwell in their environment, you're coexisting together. And it's that growth period that takes place. And, you know, I think a lot of times we go into our marriages in a fairy tale stage.
Yes, ma'am.
And not being realistic about the growing pains that are to take place, because everything is really new. Irregardless to how you talked about it, it sounds good in conversation. Now we have to live it. And so how do we educate our younger sisters who are about to be married how to make that transition smoothly? It has nothing to do with whether you have children or not. But it's about developing that union and developing that partnership and developing those terms and agreement. And a man, and I know some of my sisters are not going to understand, but I hope you hear me. Women should not, whether you do or not, you should not marry a man who does not have dominion over his household.
Come on now.
Because you are not going to respect him if he does not. Now, I said dominion over his household and dominion over you to a certain degree, to a respectful degree. Because if you marry a man who has established a relationship with Allah and he is aligned with Allah and you are aligned with that man, you have no problem with him having dominion over you. But
now,
if into a relationship and you are able to have dominion over that man, you've already messed up. So I want our younger sisters to know that when we say partnership, when we say equal, you know, when we say hand in hand, we have to understand the nature of our existence and the nature of our creation and the order that Allah has given us. So in obedience to Allah, we have to allow that man to establish his dominion in that household. And I just want to give that to my sisters, and I hope they understand what I'm saying, because when you talk to Sister Gidget, I may sound very controlling and very domineering, but I'm telling you that this is what I know from experience, because you want to be able to respect your husband and you want to be able to see him in his natural form. And if you don't allow him to be the man that Allah created him to be, you will never respect him. So I just want to get that out there, Sister Kimberly. But how do they make that transition smoothly? What would you suggest?
My suggestion is, as we say, in the course process that you're going to court, and also when you're in what is called an interview process, when you're interviewing a job, if you will, there's oftentimes where you ask questions to give examples of success or examples of how you handle certain situations. So therefore, I would say that a sister should ask brother to give an example in regards to establishing some type of perseverance and patience. Because really, really, I'm finding that has been the overall theme of what I've been saying this afternoon, and that was the crux of Mr. Israel's lecture for today, and I just thought of that. But to give an example, you can overcome certain obstacles in your life.
Okay, Sister Kim, I'm sorry, just one second, because I don't know if it's just me, but you sound like you're breaking up.
Hold on.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Yes,
but Caesar, there is a lot of interference. I can hear it.
Caesar, can you hear her?
Yeah, I hear her now.
Okay.
I hear a lot of static.
Caesar, can
all
you?
The phones are, all the phones are on mute right now, so nobody's on the phone but you.
Okay,
oh, yes,
did the mic, did you hang the mic up?
I'm sorry.
Did you hang the mic up for the phones?
All the phones' mics are on mute right now.
Okay, yes, sir. Okay, I was just making sure. Okay, go ahead, Sister Kimberly. I'm sorry.
What I was saying is that during the interview process, to ask the brother to give a specific example of life experiences.
Yes, ma'am. So, in a situation, Sister Kimberly, when you have children already, when do you think, of course, after you've taken that brother to court, how do you introduce your children to him and him to your children? And what is that conversation like when you're saying that, you know, brother so-and-so is going to marry me and we're going to cohabitate in the same house? And what kind of foundation do you set for him in your household with your children prior to him coming in?
Well, that is kind of a perplexing question for me due to the simple fact that in my courtship procedure before, it was kind of a progression, if you will. My late husband was someone that my children already knew due to the simple fact. Now, he said it was kismet. I thought that he did it by design, that every time that I stepped outside of the mosque, whether I was with my children or I was alone, that brother was always the brother who escorted me to my car. And then as he escorted me to my car, a conversation ensued. So prior to our quote-unquote courtship, my children already knew my prospective husband quite well. So there was no pretty much an introductory type of process. But I will say this, once we made the decision for marriage, I did sit down with my children. I took them out to dinner. And actually before then, I asked when I was ready to marry. I said, you know what, there will be a time in my life where, of course, you have had my undivided attention for quite a while. And how would you, and we had a dialogue, how would you feel when another person steps into the sphere and is the head of the household as opposed to me? And we had an in-depth conversation. But I will say this, one thing that I would probably utilize in the future is that although that conversation was made and was had between my fiancé and myself, with my children alone and myself, that during the premarital process and counseling sessions that are done with our minister, to also have sessions that also include my children or his children,
yes,
or all of us together, because I did not utilize that before.
Yes, ma'am. Wow, that's interesting. Okay. All right. Well, sister, you're getting some good information because Sister Kimberly knows. So, I mentioned earlier, just a minute ago, about the, I call it the alignment. And the reason why I say that is because I have been fortunate or unfortunate enough to have bore witness to a lot of marriages that take place. And like you said, you know, a brother just can't step to you because he's in the mosque and because he's, you know, coming out to meetings and he's selling so many papers and things of that nature. But you have to have that establishment of that relationship with Allah. And I want to know, based on your observation, is it hard for us as women who some have been through terrible relationships, some have had terrible experiences with men, and when I say men, I'm not necessarily talking about significant others, but I'm saying going all the way back to their fathers.
Come on now.
Is it very difficult for us to put ourselves or train ourselves to be in submissive mode?
It is. You are talking to the perfect person for that, because it is. Because I've had some extreme life-altering situations that happened in my life. And with that, you would think that I would be embittered against black manhood. But by the grace of Allah and because of the example and the teaching that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gives us, I've been able to let go, if you will, of a lot of the acrimony and the anger and the pent up and acrimonious feelings against black men. Because once you gain the understanding that, you know what, just like the minister said, it ain't really their fault.
Right. Exactly.
It's not really their fault. They're a product of a system that was by design. And that is why it is so important, as I said, stated earlier, that we become so thoroughly entrenched in our MGT class, because it's not just practical applications of certain things, but it teaches us how to effectively deal with the mind of a man that is broken and to help him grow and develop into the God that he is.
Yes, ma'am. And you know, and it's so hard for some women to trust again. And even they go through what I call go through the motions, because they're reacting on impulse, but oftentimes they're not ready to really be married because they're not ready to trust 100%, and therefore if they're not trusting 100%, they're not giving 100%, and you still taking the brother to task as if he was in courtship once you have even agreed to marry him. And so there's no comfort, no true comfort in you, and therefore, as an MGT, you can't offer comfort to that man, because it's a constant challenge. He's constantly proving himself, which he has to do already, but it's almost like he's constantly going to court with you when you have not let go of all of that baggage from before. And I want our brothers who may be listening to understand that not only were you, as black men, afflicted by our enslavement, but we were also afflicted, as you many of you already know that, but you have to understand that the women that we have become, we are products of our fathers and the men in our society that, for the lack of a better word, I'm just going to say the open enemy has cultivated us to be. And mm-hmm. I want to understand that it is a struggle to get back to the nature of ourselves. And so that is not the time to turn away and to give up, but it is a growing and a changing process that has to occur throughout life. And so a lot of times you may feel a woman is out of her place, or you may feel a man is not being what he should be, but hold on, because we all have to try to struggle to get back to our nature that has been taken from us. And I just want to, you know, give that as a tool for us to keep in mind when we start seeing some behaviors in our marriage. We need to reflect back on what we as a people have gone through and not give up on each other so easily. So, Brother Caesar?
Yes, ma'am.
We have any questions yet?
Let me look right quick. No, ma'am, we don't.
I cannot believe that. Really?
All come on, listening audience.
Huh?
I said, come on, listening audience.
Well, I mean, I know they're listening, but I know a lot of people signed up, and I cannot
believe they're listening.
I'm going to tell you, they need to be listening because I was listening loud and clear, and what I'm going to do, hey, bear me witness when I tell you this. I'm going to start walking. I'm going to go to some mosque and start walking some sisters to their cars and just start some conversations with them. That's what I'm going to start doing.
Go ahead, my brother Rakim. Make it happen.
I'm going to make it happen. Sister Kimberly, you know, we appreciate you for coming online. I mean, not online. Coming on air with your story. You done gave brothers the secret. Some of the brothers are already slick and they knew it. Just walk us through the car. Just strike a conversation with her. Get to know the children. Damn, I'm, you know, I'm going to be married to this person in about 2 days. No, not 2 days, but, you know.
No, I kid you not. Every time, I don't care if it was study group or he was on post after during class or after the mosque meeting, that brother was the brother who walked me to my car each and every time.
So, brothers out there, y'all know how to get the sisters. Sister Kimberly just told you how to go out there and get your black woman. Go get your black goddess, your black queen, and bring her home or go home with her. One of the two. Do your thing, brother. Do your thing.
Oh, yes, ma'am. All praises due to Allah. Hey, whatever makes it happen, whatever makes it work at this point. Okay,
yeah,
another
thing is also is that as, you know, of course, as he would open my door to the car. We would have a conversation. And then, of course, he was slick. And then asked, you know, like, sister, you know, are you proficient in making bean soup? And I said, yes, sir.
He was courting. He was courting you on the down low.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I like that. I like that. A brother
like that
with a little...
Well, you know what? We kind of peeped each other because, of course, as I have also said before in the past, is that, of course, I learned because during the course of our conversation, I gleaned what his interests were as far as him out in the community and him professionally. And with me utilizing my personal business skills, and I formulated business cards, one for fishing and another one for his business, and at that time he was a general manager at his father's tire shop. So I had formulated two different business cards for him to distribute, you know, to finally kind of pique the interest, if you will. You know, we all got game. I'm sorry, we do.
Okay, to show him that you had an interest in what he was doing.
Well, not only that, you know, we are to be the quote-unquote help me, and if, you know, if your man does not have a vision, you can't help him meet his responsibility to Allah. So I had to show him that I could also be a help me. Help you meet your responsibility, black man. Yeah.
I'm not mad at you. Hey, whatever makes it work, whatever makes it work. Okay, so Sister Kimberly, since you and I feel such like the big sister. I'm feeling like Sister Marilyn now. You know, she mothers everybody. What qualities do we as MGT, as a whole, as a nation of women, not personally, but as a nation of women, what qualities must possess for ourselves to be wise?
That we must possess? As wise?
Yes, to qualify ourselves to be wise.
The overwhelming response is love for Allah, for me.
Come on.
And in general,
Because, like I said earlier, when you fulfill your love for Allah and your duty to Allah, and as a believer, all of the other things fall into place. How you qualify yourself as a wife will fall into place, because in fulfilling those duties to Allah, you are remaining dutiful. And as the minister has reminded us time and time again, that love is duty and duty is love. So if you are up and you get up and you interrupt your sleep to make sure that you pray, you know that you are a person who will get up and see to attend to the needs of your husband and your family. If you study the word of Allah, that means you will study your man and your children and your community to meet their needs and to grow in your responsibility. So in that, you have to be a believer and have love for the Creator and the Supreme Being.
Yes, ma'am. That was well said. I can't even say nothing else after that. But Allahu Akbar. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. And, you know, I think one of the reasons why I was trying to push this show is because, as a marriage counselor, Sister Kimberly, our statistics for divorce within the nation are astronomical.
Yes,
and I have seen them get married and get divorced so rapidly over the last 15 years or so. And I remember growing up in mosque number 27 and let me represent up here, girl. I remember growing up in mosque number 27 and never even knowing at a very young age what a divorce was. It was no such thing. It was non-existent almost. And if brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so were having issues, no one knew about it, but maybe the minister or some of the other elders in the mosque. But whatever the problem was, it never ended up being a divorce or even a separation. You know, that issue was dealt with. And it brings me to kind of question our tolerance and our understanding of one another. And I want to get your opinion on how effective you think Dianetics is prior to.
Sister Kimberly?
Yes, ma'am. Did you hear me?
I just heard the last word that I heard from you was Dianetics.
Yes, I just wanted to know what do you think? How important is that process prior to marriage?
To me, I feel that it is highly important. I wouldn't say it's a deal breaker, because if they're willing to eventually go through that process, myself included, because I've still yet to be audited, but that is on my to-do list, if you will. But to utilize the tools that have been made available to the believers in order to rid ourselves of a lot of the baggage, if you will, that we carry throughout our entire lives. And I know that I got a whole lot that I need to get rid of. But yet, and still, in my quest to become someone's wife, I want to be a whole person. I don't want to give 30%. I don't want to give 45%. I don't want to give 50%. I don't want to give 78%. I want to give all of Kimberly. And I feel that all of Kimberly is a phenomenal amount to give and is a blessing, and vice versa. And utilizing that tool of auditing and utilizing that tool of understanding the science of the mind is vitally important.
Yes, ma'am.
That was given to us as a tool for a reason.
Oh, most definitely.
And for us to be resistant to it, gives me pause.
Well, you know, I'm okay. Well, let me let you pause because I was not, and I'm still not a great fan of Skynet, and that's for not a personal reason, but I guess I'm not very open to the new clinical procedures. By me being a clinician myself, I'm kind of like stuck in the old-fashioned way, so I'm not, and not that Dianetics is new, it's just that it's not a tool that we've widely used in my field or in psychiatry, period. But I am becoming more open to it as I find time to study it more. And anything that will help us to stay together and will help us grow a nation and will help us have the love and respect that, you know, we should have for one another, just in brotherhood and sisterhood, because I see some couples now that were once married, and it's almost like they hate each other, and that should never be our nation, irregardless to what has taken place. So I think that when we start to handle some of those personal issues that we have, I think it would make for a better nation. But
I will say this, a precursor to the Dianetics component that will help the believers to get rid of some of the animosity and anger that we oftentimes harbor against one another, not just as husband and wives, but as believers, is the atonement process. Because I will say this, you know, that has helped me immensely even before I got to this point where I'm embracing the auditing process, the atonement process, where I had atoned with my ex-husband, where we had a very, very bitter, acrimonious anger. Just it was one of epic proportions, if you will, in regards to our breakup. But I had to understand that when all is said and done, not only was he someone that I once loved, not only is he the father of my oldest children and my first love that I've ever had in my life besides my father, is that he still remains a believer, and that we had to work through certain things that we still were holding on to. So I had the opportunity to sit down with him face to face and go through the 8 steps. And as a result, here we are 20 years later. We're not 8 boom coons, but he's welcome in my home. We have an understanding, as even though we are parents of adult children and grandparents now, that he is a believer in Islam. He is a believer in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And in that and of itself, he still remains my brother.
Right.
And the atonement process was able, that enabled me to even before all of the technology that has been presented to us the last 2 to 3 years, enabled me to let go of a lot of junk that I still carry.
Right, and see, that's where I am. I'm old school, I guess, because I still believe in the process of atonement, and I still believe that at the end of the day, no matter what has happened or what has occurred within the relationship, we are still brothers and sisters in faith and in spirit, and in that spirit and in that faith, we should always love and respect one another, even when we cannot coexist in the same household. And that would make for a better nation, because at the end of the day, that's what it's supposed to be about anyway. You know,
exactly.
We're supposed to make it work, but if at all costs, if it doesn't work, let it end up love. You know, it started out love, let it end up that way. You know, it might not be the degree of love that we had anticipated, but let it end up love, because hate or, you know, being angry or harboring resentment takes up too much energy.
Yes, ma'am. You know,
too much energy, and life is too short. All right. I'm sorry I was late. I wasn't looking at my computer screen, and we had a sister out there named Loving Muhammad who said she had a question, and I don't know if she's still on. She wasn't sure, Caesar, of how to ask a question, so can you turn the mics on to see if she's still there?
Do you know her area code?
No, she just hit me on the inbox.
Okay. Let me turn them on right quick. Okay, this is the deal. If you want to speak now, I got your mics on. Everybody's mic is on. Whoever has a question, please ask now.
Hi, Jamaica. Walaikum salam, ma'am. This is Loving Miss Muhammad.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm a single as well, and they're very protective. And when I was talking to them about maybe me perhaps going to, you know, going to closet or something, they don't want me to. They, because I had a rough relationship with my ex-husband. So, they don't really want another man in the house. So I was wondering, how do I go about even starting courtship and introducing them to a new brother?
How old are your children?
18, 12, 11, and 7.
And I'm sorry, since I had a hard time hearing you at first, did you say that your children did not want another man in the house?
Yes.
Okay, do they have a house?
It's their house. They live with me.
Oh, no. They paying bills?
No,
no, ma'am. Come on now.
But I know that... my grandmother always, you know, when she raised us, she always told us to always get our children's opinion. And, you know, my ex-husband was a little, you know, the relationship was a little rough on them as well. So,
okay.
I take their feelings in consideration.
Well, sister, let me just explain this to you. And I hope that the information that we share here tonight will help you. Your children are...
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Kimberly, your phone is breaking up real bad. Can you move around a little bit?
Okay, is that me or is it Kim?
No, that's better. Whoever's speaking right now, your phone was messing up. I'm sorry.
Okay. I want the information that we give to be helpful to you, and I don't know how old of a sister you are, but sister, if you have children that are in your home, they need a man in the home. Every child needs a man in the home. And once you
I can't understand you.
Yeah, okay. There's a lot of interference.
I think, but that's not my phone because I'm hearing it too.
Should I hang up and call back?
No, ma'am.
I think that's it right now. I just muted out another phone. That could have been your interference.
Okay. Can you hear me now, sister?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You know, children need a man in the home. And once you have taken that brother to court and you find that that brother is sufficient for you and for your children, that's a decision for you to make. Because any decision that you make, I'm so sure as a mother, is going to be beneficial for you as well as for your children.
Yes, ma'am.
So let me add to that, beloved. You know, I had a
very in-depth conversation with my soon-to-be 17-year-old son a few months back. And he sat down and told me, he said, you know what, Mom? He said, as much as you do for us and how much you love us and how much, you know, you care for us, he said, sometimes it really sucks having just a mom. And where he was expressing that he really craved that male presence in the home. So I will concur with Sister Gidget wholeheartedly.
Yes, ma'am. And you know, and all children are resistant to the unknown. They become comfortable with you, but you can introduce them to better things. That's what parents do. So if you find a brother that you know is sufficient for you, and he's the brother that you desire to be with, then introduce that to your children, and I'm pretty sure as time goes on and they get to know each other better, they'll appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I hope we answered your question.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
You guys have another question out there. I got the phone already open. 843. Go ahead and ask your question, please. 843. I'm sorry. That's Sister who?
Sister Marilyn.
Yeah, she has a question. Hold on for a second. I'm sorry. I had her phone on mute. She has a question for you guys. Sister Marilyn, go ahead and speak, please.
Yes, sir.
Assalamualaikum,
ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, Sister Kimberly, ma'am. I'm doing well. I wanted to respond to the question. I think her name is Lovin Muhammad. The sister just asked a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. You know, I'm a mother of four, and also I have two grandchildren. And you know, I can understand, and also I'm a single mom. And I can understand that, you know, with children, like Sister Gidget said, they fear that unknown. But as a mother, we know what's best for our children. So if we know what's best for our children, we won't just allow anybody to be around our children as well. So, you know, my oldest is, 22. So for my 22-year-old, which is, you know, she's married, you know, even my 18-year-old son, you know, to tell me that they don't want a man around, you know, who is my son to tell me that? But, you know, I can relate to, you know, what Sister Kimberly was saying, because I know, you know, I spoke, you know, with my son before, and, you know, we had a conversation, and my son told me that, you know, as long as, you know, he's an FYI, he made that clear. And he said, as long as that brother makes me happy. And that's, you know, that's what makes him happy. So, you know, we just have to, at the same time, you know, all our children, they love us at the same time. But, you know, we have to think about us, you know, what is our best interest, what make us happy, what we want in life, what is best, you know, for our family. So, you know, I just wanted to respond to that sister question. But, you know, Sister Gidget, Sister Kimberly, y'all doing a wonderful job once again. I'm sorry I wasn't able to participate this time on the panel. I should be back in full effect next week, so. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Caesar, you know, for always, you know, being there for us for Blog Talk Radio Show.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you for calling in, Sister Marilyn. We love you.
Yes, and love
yes
you
we love you, Sister Marilyn. I like the salon. I in my family, with amongst my children, it's really funny, is that they run the gamut of readiness for me to share my life with someone else. There's some of my children be like, Mommy, yeah, you go find your husband. Then I have some of my children, one of my children said, Mommy, you can court, but you can't get married. Then I have, of course, my son, my little one, who says, Mommy, I need a new dad. So, it runs the gamut of readiness where they're concerned. But once that king arrives and I move forward in my life, the preparation is going to have to be made with my children that this new individual, a different individual will be introduced into their lives, and he will be a long-standing individual in their lives, inshallah.
Yes, ma'am. And you know, it's, I know children, especially if they have been okay, I don't know where that noise is coming from. It's irritating me, but I know when children have been exposed to bad relationships, they are apprehensive as well, just like we sometimes
yes,
are apprehensive. And so we have to teach our children to have that same faith and have that same trust in Allah and to, you know, give another person a chance and not put them in a category with the previous person, you know. And I have a routine that I do. I start everybody I meet off with an A. And I tell them, from this point, you degrade yourself. But I'm not holding any resentment towards you. I'm not trying to make you pay for something somebody did yesterday. I may be wiser, but I'm not harboring anything. So you start off with an A, and if you end up with a D, it's all because of what you did and nothing nobody else did. That's not something that comes over. That's something we have to actually put into practice.
That's a wonderful perspective. Start them off with an A. And if you come up with a D, a B minus, or even an F plus, then that's your fault.
Absolutely. And, you know, and then on the other hand, you know, sisters, we cannot call ourselves believers and we hold on to the horrors of yesterday. Because how can you serve a God so great and then internally suffer so much? So you have to first make sure that you allow Allah to be sufficient for you. Is Brother Rakim on the phone?
Hold on for a second. Let me turn this phone back on.
Well, no, don't turn it back on. I thought maybe that was his background noise because it keeps going in and out, and I know it's not my phone.
Actually, it was 662. We have a 662 number. I'm getting a lot of background noise from them, but I just muted their phone out.
Okay. All right. Sister Kim, let's go on to the next question.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's talk marital issues. And I got a point I want to make, but I want to talk about marital issues. And I'm talking about in general right now, misunderstandings, arguments, disagreements. I don't use the word fight because we should not be fighting one another, whether it's verbally, physically, mentally, spiritually, or whatever. So I don't use or subscribe to that particular title of it. But how do we resolve our marital issues? What is the approach we should use, in your opinion, Sister Kimberly?
Well, you know what? I will share with you what was shared with me many years ago and always come with and be well-studied in, thus saith the Lord. And when you have a proper understanding with thus saith the Lord and you come with truth along with understanding, you squash the argument. Or misunderstanding or disagreement, but also that other person has to be receptive to hear that truth. So you have to be wise in what is said and how it's said, which is something that I also share with people who interact with me. Sometimes if I'm not receptive to what you're saying, whatever it is, the good of what you have to say to me is not going to be received. So maybe it needs to be tabled for another time. When
so many swirling emotions are not present. Let's take a moment, take a step back. And that goes back to think 5 times before you speak.
Yes, ma'am.
So if you're coming with thus saith the Lord, with truth and with strength, but in the proper spirit, and say things at the proper time. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan always has given the example of Mother Farrakhan of sometimes he would, as a young Muslim, he would cut the fool, and, you know, she could have gone toe-to-toe with him, but she will wait. You know, let him do his thing, let him roar, if you will, and then when things have settled, you know, she would come back with him with the truth and what she had and explained her position, and he was receptive to his error or corrective action that he needed to bring forward.
Exactly. And I remember him saying that, you know, he would act out, so to speak, and she would come in a very calm tone and make her point very clear, very stern, but not cutting him up. And
exactly. Sister Gidget?
Hold on for a second. I think our call dropped. Let me call
her
right back. Okay.
Yes, sir.
You've reached 832-887-9306. I'm not available to take your call at this time, but if you leave me a message, I will return your call as soon as possible. May God be with you, and may you have a blessed day.
Let's see. Let's call her right back.
Okay, Caesar, I didn't know you were tired of me already.
I'm sorry. The what?
I didn't know you were tired of me already.
Come on, man. You know I wasn't tired of you. Hey, the phone hung up on you, man. I called you back and I got your number, y'all. I got your voice machine, but we got you on now. So please go ahead.
Okay, but I'm sorry. I think I was talking about not cutting a man up. And you know, Minister Farrakhan gave a perfect example of how our mouths are a weapon. And then that mouthpiece can make a man become physically aggressive with us because they can't win an argument. And so, you know, I don't think that it's a sign of weakness or punking out, so to speak, for us to sometimes train ourselves, well, not sometimes, but for us to train ourselves to rise above emotion in the moment and learn, not just say we're going to do, but learn and practice on how to control our emotions and our tones when we speak to our husbands. Because I know I sound very aggressive, but I would put myself to shame if y'all would see me when I was married, because I never really raised my voice. Now, I might knock you in your head, but I'm not going to raise my voice. I might shoot you, but I'm not going to raise my voice.
You,
She might cuss you, but she ain't going to raise her voice.
Right. But I just think that, you know, when we talk about our role as the woman and to be a comforter and to console and to restore our men, I think we have to remain within our boundaries as women. And even though there will be some occurrences that, you know, that we're very upset, we're very emotional about, but you would be surprised at how much power we have in resolution just by staying in those parameters as women and always being sweet and mellow and always being the voice of reason and always understanding that our brothers in this world face challenges every day, especially when they go out and they're trying to be productive men and they're getting beat up at every turn. So to come home and be frustrated and to have to go to battle, the man's mind has no peace. So we always have to be found being on our post, even when the environment might not even seem conducive for it. Even though when he comes in, he slams the door, he don't say anything, we still have to remain on our post, and we have to have an understanding, and we have to be able to reach out and comfort our brothers. And Sister Kimberly, for our young people who are getting married, tell me, how would they put that into practice? Do you think they should start putting that into practice during the courtship?
Yes. I wouldn't say yes during the courtship if the brother becomes agitated. However, the minister also asked us as women, conversely, if you want to see how a brother handles stress or very upsetting situations, make him mad. But it's also a testimony of how we would handle that brother in that particular situation. So I would say yes. Yes.
Yes,
to temper our mouths even in the courtship process. Because if a brother is presented with a challenging situation while the two individuals are courting, and she shows herself strong as a woman that's in his corner, then he is more inclined to choose you as his mate.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
I will give a perfect example. There are some times where, you know, I did not always master that. I tried to, but there have been isolated incidents. And my late husband was very stern, especially in regards to giving instructions. And it could be just saying, baby, I want bean soup, but he would give it very sternly. And, of course, sometimes you'd be like, okay, I just got him here too. Now, da-da-da-da-da. But I didn't. One time, all I did was just look at him, smile, and say, yes, sir. And he was taken aback. Just by that simple gesture of, hello? Yes? There's telephone ringing.
That's the computer call.
Is Sister Gidget on the phone?
Sister Gidget, she's still there. Yes, sir.
I don't see her.
She was. Sister Gidget, okay, then she must have just dropped.
Sister Gidget, are you there?
Okay, I'm here. The
computer
calling me again. I don't know why.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see your phone number, man. I didn't see your number. I was me calling you.
Oh, okay.
Well, as I was saying, just that simple gesture of me smiling and saying, yes, sir, he was like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that.
Right. And it was the same thing because my first husband, bless his heart, he was the learning husband. So he took a large part of my infancy, but when I remarried, I learned a lot from my first marriage, and I learned how to effectively argue or disagree with my husband to a point to whereas it never got brutal, it never got loud or disrespectful or anything like that. And for me, it was hard because I speak in a very stern manner. And, you know, growing up in the house of men, that's just how you turn out. And so to kind of soften myself and to get in touch with my femininity, so to speak, when dealing with my husband, it was a process. It was a learning process, and it was very hard for me. And so I don't want our younger sisters to make the mistake of using our very forceful weapon, which is our mouths. Our mouths will say some things that can break the spirit of a man. And when you break a man's spirit, you have broken him. And it will take a long time for him to forget some of the things that come out of your mouth. And we have to be mindful that once we say something, it's said, and we can't take it back. So maintaining the spirit of our men is very key to having a successful marriage. We have about maybe 20 more minutes. Brother Caesar, I'm going to start calling some people out because we do these shows every Sunday, and they sign up to participate, and I know some of them are listening. I want to know where my sister Native Angel is. I want to know where my brother Jerome Cook is. I want to know where Todd McGraw is. I think Derek D. Nice Chapman said he was going to try to listen tonight. I want to know where my people are. So, Brother Caesar, do you have any questions?
I got the machines back. I got all your microphones are on now. So whoever wants to speak, they can at this time. And I can't tell what questions we still got because we have 214. I think that was the young lady that had the question earlier. And I see Brother Raheem's question is still lit up. And I see Sister Marion. I see her number is still lit up. So if anybody has anything to say, you can say it now, please. If you have any questions, you can ask those questions now.
Yes, Kimberly?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I've been waiting for Sister Marilyn again.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I have three questions for you. You ready?
For me. I'm ready.
Yes, ma'am. First question I have for you, you know, all the time we hear a lot of people say that marriage takes, you know, it's a lot of work. Do you think a lot of people are afraid to commit because it takes a lot of work?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. That people are afraid of marriage because it takes a lot of work, and if they have not dealt with that fear of the work, then no, they are not ready to be a married individual because it's a monumental amount of work,
yes,
especially on the sister's part.
Mhm. Okay. Okay. And my second question is to you. With so many marriages falling apart around us today, what step can you take to ensure that you stay close as a couple, emotionally and spiritually?
Well, I will share with you all the same information that was shared with me many years ago, like I said before, and that is always maintaining coupleship. Sometimes we get so bogged down into the day-to-day things that we have to do in our families and as being maintainers and as making sure we're cooking and we're cleaning and the laundry and the bills get paid and did so-and-so get their homework done and shuttling back and forth to school. We lose sight oftentimes of the coupleship and the couplehood that the two individuals have that is the flagship of the family. And time has to be taken to maintain that relationship spiritually, mentally, psychologically, and emotionally.
Okay.
And just, okay. Just to make sure that they stay connected.
Yes, ma'am.
And I want to add something to that, Sister Marilyn, because, you know,
yes, ma'am.
I also want to just keep on the point of communication.
Yes,
because
ma'am.
Okay.
We shut down, and we fail to communicate. We fail to express how we're feeling, how certain
mm-hmm.
things are. We kind of keep it all in until it festers, and then we burst out with these outrages. You know, if it's nothing but 15 or 20 minutes a day that you spend in an intimate setting with your mate, that's what you need to do on a daily basis. If it's nothing
yes,
but a event of the day, because not
okay.
only are you strengthening the marriage, but you're also strengthening the friendship. And, you know,
okay.
we have friends we can talk to on the phone, and we hit them up on the inbox, and we, you know, we texting them all day. And then when our man comes home, the person that we're living with, that we're trying to grow with, that we have a family with, we can't communicate. That's not going to work. We have to keep the lines of communication open, and you have to remember that you were friends first. And you
okay,
have
okay.
to have that relationship as well. And I'm sorry, Sister Marilyn. Go ahead with your third question. I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And my third question is, because, you know, just you made a good point, Sister Gibbs, as far as friendship, and that was another question what I wanted to go into, because I know I hear a lot of people talk about, you know, when you go into a relationship, you should become friends first. And the question was, do you think a lot of relationship ended due to lack of love? Do you think a lot of people end their relationship because they didn't start off as friends, and if you don't get to know that brother and sister for who they are, and once you get committed in that relationship, and over a period of time, you start to see certain things in that individual, and then basically the relationship wasn't based on love. It's just, you know, you just came into a relationship. Do you think a lot of people end their relationship due to a lack of love?
Ms. Kimberly?
Yes. That was a deep question. I wouldn't say for lack of love. Because when you're good friends with someone, when you are truly, truly good friends with someone, that is rooted in love. It may not be the romantic sort.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And when my late husband was asked in our premarital sessions by Minister Tony, he asked the brother, why do you want to marry the sister? He said, because she's my best friend.
Yes.
And because she is my best friend, I know that she will always have my back, and that
mm-hmm.
she will never steer me wrong, and that she will always have my best interest at heart.
Okay.
Oftentimes, I think that marriage break out because, not because of the lack of love, because of the lack of the friendship falls by the wayside.
Okay.
Would you
okay.
concur, Sister Gidget?
Yes, ma'am, I would, because, you know, I don't want to be the odd man out, but I always have been, and I'm not short on words. I really say what I feel and what I think. And I never, as long as I've been in the nation 46 years, I have never agreed with a 90-day marriage. And the reason why is because I have been around enough to know that you can put on airs for 90 days.
Yes, you can.
And what happens is that when you are assigned in a courtship to a particular sister or brother, being assigned to a courtship is just like holding up a cue card and say, act. You know, like, camera, action. And so
mm-hmm.
we have a tendency to put on a facade because we are in
courtship. But however, when we're in friendship, we have a tendency to relax. We have a tendency to be ourselves. We have a tendency to show our qualities as well as our flaws. And those people who are our friends will love us through all of it. But when we are in courtship, we are on stage. And so we are presenting ourselves as we think we should because we are in court. Mm-hmm. But now what happens when the courtship is over and the honeymoon is over and you go back and you start to try to live a normal life and you take off the stage makeup, the theatrical makeup, and you take off the costume and you present who you are, and then the MGT wakes up wondering who in the hell she married, and the FOI wakes up and say, I don't know this woman. It's because there's no establishment of a friendship because you're in the process of an act. You're in courtship. You are being tested. And so you do everything that you have to do to pass that test. But now when we get back to real life, who are we? So I have encouraged and I have tried to encourage over and over again, and I did it this week, and I didn't get too many participants, but I tried to encourage the bonding project because before we can start to love each other as husband and wife, we have to love each other as brother and sister. In order to love each other as brother and sister, we have to establish a friendship, a relationship. We have to establish communication. And so I can't fathom marrying some brother that I don't know because he saw me and I saw him and he put in a request and I accepted and I'm taking him to task for 90 days, sending him to the ring. Okay, you did good for 90 days. And I'm talking about seeing you for the rest of my life. So I need to know who you are. And the only way I really know that is to become your friend first. Because when I'm your friend, you're relaxed, I'm relaxed, you see all sides of me, I see all sides of you, and we make a conscious decision together on how we work. Do we have enough commonality to build a life, to build a marriage? Do I want to reproduce you into the future? Because you might be seeing, I got some friends that are FOI. But I wouldn't reproduce them into the future. And I say that with love, but they know there's something wrong with them. You know, and hey, that's just real talk.
You know, ma'am.
And so the person that is a beautiful brother, all my brothers, all my brothers and sisters in Islam, I love them all. There's somebody for you, but everybody is not for you. So I think you owe it to yourself, you owe it to Allah, you owe it to the children that you're going to bring forth in the world to take your time, establish a friendship before choosing someone to mate with and reproduce children into the future, into an environment that may not be conducive for them to grow up. So that's my opinion, Marilyn.
And I would agree. My late husband and I courted for a year. But I will say this, once he decided to get married, he was like, okay, I think we planned our wedding in 9 weeks.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, well, hey, he hadn't made up mind, but he didn't have any doubts.
No, ma'am.
And that's the beauty of it. There was no doubt there.
But it took a year to get there. It took a year.
Yeah, well, hey, sometimes it takes longer, trust me.
Yes, ma'am.
So Kimberly, last but not least, because you know what the minister has been teaching all over the nation, and I went back and I listened to some of his lectures and found that even myself had been in error of what I was trying to encourage. Let's talk about the money. Let's talk about finances. Let's keep it real.
Yes, ma'am.
So what do we really look for? Do we really look for a brother who has it going on, or do we look for a brother that has just a little bit and he can add to it and enhance it? What are we really looking for?
Well, you know what? In a conversation that was had with the minister, Tony, a few weeks back on another forum, and he was saying that he also brought up the example of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his first wife, Khadijah, that he was a man of very straitened means, and she was a woman of ample means, but yet and still he was a producer. So we as women should be looking for a man who can produce. And production may not be in monetary ways, and I will give myself again as an example. I'm not going to say as much, the dollar amount or the percentage amount, but I made.
Ma'am? Sister Kimberly? Did we lose her?
No, I don't see her being lost, but let me look for her number right quick. Is it 901-909?
No, I think she's 951.
Okay, let me look again. Yeah, I think we lost her. Wow. I didn't drop a call, though, so you think she might call back?
I hope so.
We didn't get her through the switchboard. She was a call-in.
Yeah, she's a 951-813 number.
Yeah, her number's not there anymore, and I don't see it. I got you, though.
I'm a text.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to play another song right quick, let you guys enjoy a song while she's doing that. This is GT Shot. This is No Game.
Yeah, everybody wants to be a shotter, but there can only be one shotter. Watch how me gonna deal with them kids, watch out. Come here for fun. Now you little DJ, you better pack up and run. This is not no game, I don't come here for fun. Now you little DJ, you better pack up and run. This is not no game, I don't come here for fun. Now you little DJ, you better pack up and run. This is not no game, I don't come here for fun. Now you little DJ, you better pack up and run. Man, now you said to me just like a kitty cat, and just cut off his minutes in a pocket like that. As it be, living in every misery, still live with his mom, the with his granny. Falling, the man was taking me the night. Them put us in the river, now go to my sight. Come here, the bad man, they call me Jesus. Anyone from death, they must be crazy. This is not no game, I don't come here for fun. Now you little DJ, you better pack up and run. This is not no game, I don't come here for fun. Now you little DJ, you better pack up and run. This is not no game, I don't come here for fun. Now you little DJ, you better pack up and run. This is not no game, I don't come here for fun. Now you little DJ, to me. I was still used protection from the HIV. Whatever happened to Pacha with a sexy body? Both the killers have a man, yes, I like them Bali. Would you Pacha have a wrong kiss? They change it, see. It's a poor pair to run, she bumps in 90. Well, but, oh, such a one, give him some cheese. I will get a machete and chop off his knee. But this is not no game, I don't come here for fun. Now you little DJ, you better back up and run. But this is not no game, I don't come here for fun. Now you little DJ, you better back up and run. No game, I don't come here for fun. Are you little DJ, you better back up and run. This is not no game, I don't come here for fun. Are you little DJ, you better back up and run. Because me have a little, and she have a little goosey. When we done murder, you be ever see your family. No money is a man, no money is a lady. It don't matter if you're white or you're black or tan. Because we digging on the ground, we digging on the country. Anything won't test, they must be crazy. It's a digging on the dump, a digging on the posse. I'm a real gunman. say my don't come here for fun. Now you little DJ, you better back up and run. And this is not no game, I don't come here for fun. Now you little DJ, you better back up and run. This is not no game, I don't come here for fun. Now you little DJ, you better back up and run. This is not no game, I don't come here for fun. Now you little DJ, you better back up and run.
Yeah, I done told y'all that I'll pack up and leave the CFD. A number one top shot, the DJ shot that there with them kids. Even your kid though,
get though,
your man though. But this is my cone. So you know you're definitely not gonna be around. Yes, a number one DJ shot that my father kid.
Hello, Sister Gidget, are you there?
Yes. Did she call back?
No, but we have 1 minute left right now. We have 1 minute left, so I think you need to go ahead and wrap it up, and we'll let everybody enjoy the rest of their evening, and we'll catch up the next week. Next week, Sunday at 6:30, we'll be back again with the same show, talking about, you know, marriages, the F. So, hey, it's going to be all over again, man. Same thing. We'll have the same thing. So you guys tune in next week, Wednesday at 6:30. Gidget, go ahead and let them know what's up.
All right, family. Well, I'm sorry for the technical difficulties, and we'll be back better next week for sure. Thank you for listening. Have a good evening. May Allah bless you all. And I will see you on Facebook. Assalamu alaikum. Good night, Brother Caesar.
Good night, Sister Gidget. I had a great time tonight with you guys, man. Everything was fantastic. I mean, we had a few flaws, but we're going to work it out. I mean, we're still new. We're going to work it out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You have a good one also. Good night, family.
Good night.